Regarding honesty is the best policy. The hadith tells us Ka'b, the son of Malik, gave a full account of the incident that prompted him to remain behind the Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, when he proceeded to the campaign at Tabuk. Ka'b said, "I accompanied the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, upon every campaign except Tabuk. However, I did not accompany the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, to Badr, and at that time he did not blame anyone who did not accompany him." The Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, and the Muslims had been observing a Quraysh caravan when Allah ordained an unexpected incident to occur between them and their enemies. However, I was present with the Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, during the night of Aqaba, when we pledged our oath of complete dedication to Islam, and I would not like to exchange Aqaba for Badr with all its fame. As for my failure to accompany the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, at the campaign of Tabuk, I will tell you. At that time, I was stronger and more affluent than at any other time. I had 2 riding camels. Before that, I had never owned 2. It was at the practice of the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, that whenever he decided to embark upon a campaign, not to disclose the real objective until the last moment. However, on this occasion, because it was a season of intense heat, the journey was to be long across the desert, and the enemy was great in strength. He warned the Muslims clearly and told them of his objective so that they would be able to make adequate preparations. The number of those who prepared to make themselves ready to accompany the Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, was great, but a register had not yet been established to list all of them. No man reluctant to go would imagine that his absence would go unnoticed unless it was disclosed by Allah. It was a time when the fruit were on the trees had ripened and the shade was dense. This too worked upon my mind. The Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, and the Muslims who were to accompany him occupied themselves with their preparations. I would go out in the morning, intending to do the same along with him, only to return later without accomplishing anything, saying to myself, "There's plenty of time. I can get ready whenever I wish." Time passed and the Muslims completed their preparations. Then one day the Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, set out with them upon the march. I had done nothing to prepare myself. I remained in my indecisive state without accomplishing anything while the Muslims set off on their march. I thought I'd set off by myself and overtake them. How I wish I'd done so, but it was not to be. As I went about the town, it grieved me to observe that among those who remained at home, like me, were those who were either suspected of hypocrisy or excused on account of age or something similar. The Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, made no mention of me until after he reached Tabuk. One day, when he was sitting with his companions, he inquired, "What has happened to Ka'b, the son of Malik?" Someone from among the tribe of Bani Salama said, "Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, he did not accompany us because he has 2 cloaks and admiration of his finery." Upon hearing this, Muaz, the son of Jabal, said, "Evil is what you have said. O Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, we know nothing about him except good." The Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, made no comment. It was at that time that the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, observed someone riding in the distance, clad in white, and exclaimed, "May it be Abu Qasima." And he proved to be correct. Abu Qasima had been taken for a beggar by the hypocrites when he had given only a small quantity of dates in charity. When I learned that the Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, was on his return from Tabuk, I was filled with anxiety and began to generate false excuses in my mind to help save myself from his displeasure. I consulted members of my family whose judgment I trusted, but when I heard that the Prophet's arrival was imminent, I realized that no false excuse would help me. Therefore, I decided to tell the truth. He arrived the next morning. When he returned from a journey, it was his custom to go straight to the mosque and offer 2 voluntary units of prayer, rakahs, and then meet the people. He did the same on this occasion, and those who had not taken part in the campaign came forward and began on oath to give their excuses. There were over 80 people, and the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, accepted their excuses and renewed their oaths. Then he prayed for forgiveness for them and committed to Allah what they had in their mind. When it came to my turn, I greeted him. He smiled, but displeasure was visible on his smile. And he said, "Come forward." So I stepped forward and sat down before him. He asked, "What kept you back? Had you not purchased your mount?" I replied, "O Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, if I had been confronted by someone other than yourself, a man of the world, I could have easily escaped his displeasure with some excuse, because I am gifted with a skill of plausibility. However, I know that if I were to concoct a false story to you today that might even convince you, without doubt Allah will soon arouse your displeasure against me, or something else. But if I were to tell you the truth and you are displeased with me, I can still hope for the mercy of Allah, the Exalted. By Allah, I have no excuse. I was never stronger nor more affluent than when I held myself back from accompanying you." The Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, said, "This one has told the truth. Now withdraw until Allah decides your case." Some men of the children of Salama followed me out of the mosque and said, "We've never known you to err like this before. Why did you not offer an excuse to the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, like the others who had held back from the campaign? Your error would have found its forgiveness through the supplication of the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him." They persisted in reproaching me so harshly that I almost went back to the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, to withdraw my confession. Then I asked them, "Has there ever been a case similar to mine?" They replied, "Mura, the son of Rabia Amiri, and Hilal, the son of Umayya Waqifi." When they mentioned these 2 righteous men who had participated in the Battle of Badr and possessed many good qualities, I was strengthened by my original resolve. The Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, directed the Muslims not to speak to the 3 of us. People avoided us as if we were strangers, and it felt as if I was in an alien land. This state of affairs continued for 50 days. My 2 companions were so overcome by misery and shame that they retired from the world, shutting themselves away in their homes. Being the youngest and more resilient of the 3, I would go out to join my fellow Muslims for prayers and walk in the streets, although no one would speak to me. I would wait before the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, when he sat in the mosque after the prayer, and greet him, and wondered whether he had moved his lips to return my greeting. During the prayer, I would stand near him and notice that he would glance in my direction when I was occupied with prayer, and look away when I looked in his direction. Feeling anguish and deeply hurt by the harshness of Muslims towards me, one day I climbed over the garden wall belonging to my cousin Abu Qatada, of whom I was very fond. I greeted him, but he did not return my greeting. I said to him, "Abu Qatada, I ask you in the name of Allah, don't you know that I love Allah and his messenger, praise and peace be upon him?" But he remained silent. I repeated my earnest question, but still he did not reply. I asked a 3rd time, and he replied, "Allah and his messenger, praise and peace be upon him, know best." When I heard this, I could not restrain my tears, and I returned home. One day, as I was loitering in the marketplace of Medina, where I heard a peasant from Syria who had brought grain to sell ask, "Would someone direct me to Ka'ab, the son of Malik?" The people pointed in my direction, so he came to me and handed me a letter from King Ghassan. Being literate, I read it. It read, "We have heard your master has treated you unjustly. Allah has not made you to be either humiliated or maltreated. Come to us, and we will receive you graciously." Having read it, I said to myself, this is another trial, and threw it into the oven. After 40 days of the 50 had elapsed, without any indication in the revelation concerning us, a messenger of the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, came to me and said, the messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, directs you not to associate with your wife. I inquired, should I divorce her or what should I do? He replied, no, just do not associate with her. I understood that my two companions had been directed likewise, and I told my wife to go to her parents and remain with them until Allah determined the matter. The wife of Hilal, the son of Umayyah, went to the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, and said, O Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, Hilal, the son of Umayyah, is old and unable to look after himself. He does not have a servant. Would it displease you if I were to serve him? No, he replied, but he should not associate with you. Whereupon she told the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, ever since this happened, he has no interest in me and has wept continuously. Some of my people suggested that I should also seek permission of the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, so that my wife might also look after me, as the wife of Hilal, the son of Umayyah, had done. But I did not ask the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, for this, because I did not know what he might say, and besides that, I was young. 10 more days and nights passed like this. On the 51st morning, after the dawn prayer, I was sitting at my home feeling melancholy, and although the world is wide, Allah the Exalted had described it, it seemed to me as if it had become narrow and small to me. Suddenly, I heard someone shout at the top of his voice from the Mount of Salah, O Kab, son of Malik, good news! Immediately, I fell down prostrate and realized that relief had come. The Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, informed the companions at the time of the dawn prayer that Allah the Exalted had graciously accepted our repentance, and upon hearing this, several people had set off to convey the good news to us. Some went to my two companions, and another hastened on his horse in my direction of my home. One from the tribe of Aslam raced up to the top of the mountain, and his voice reached me before the arrival of the horsemen. When the one whose voice I'd heard arrived to congratulate me, I took off my garments and gave them to him. I had no other set of garments to wear, so I borrowed some to put on and set off to greet the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him. On my way to the Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, I encountered groups and crowds of people who congratulated me, saying, blessed is the acceptance of Allah for your repentance. When I entered the mosque, I found the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, seated surrounded by people. Amongst them was Talha, the son of Ubaidullah, who got up and rushed towards me and shook my hand and congratulated me. He was the only emigrant who got up, and I have never forgotten his gesture. When I greeted the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, his face shone with joy, and he said, be happy with this, the best of your days since your mother gave birth to you. I asked, O Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, is this from you or from Allah? He answered, indeed, from Allah. When he was happy, it was usual for happiness in his face to glow, as if it was part of the moon. When this happened, we knew that he was pleased. To complete my repentance, I offered to give the Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, all my possessions as charity, in the cause of Allah and his Messenger, praise and peace be upon him. He told me, retain part of it, that is better for you. So I said, I shall retain the portion which is in Khyber. Then I said, O Messenger of Allah, praise and peace be upon him, Allah the Exalted has delivered me only because I adhere to the truth, and as part of my repentance, I shall speak nothing but the truth for the rest of my life. Ever since I declared this before the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, Allah the Exalted has not tried anyone so well as in the matter of telling the truth as he has tried me. To this day, since my declaration, I have never had an inclination to tell a lie, and I hope that Allah will continue to safeguard me against it until during the rest of my days. Allah the Exalted revealed, in the hour of adversity, Allah turned bracket in mercy bracket to the Prophet, the immigrant bracket of Mecca bracket, and the supporters bracket of Medina bracket, who followed him. When some of their hearts were about to swerve, he turned to them. Indeed, he is gentle, the most merciful. And to the three who had been left behind bracket at the Battle of Tobruk bracket, until the earth became narrow with all its vastness, and their souls became narrow for them, they knew that there was no shelter from Allah except in him. Then he turned to them bracket in mercy bracket, so that they might also turn bracket in repentance bracket. Allah is the turner, the most merciful. Believers, fear Allah and stand with the truthful. Chapter 9, verse 117 to 119. Ka'ab continued, after Allah had guided me to Islam, my greatest blessing was that I told the truth to the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him. Lying to him, as others lied, would have only caused my ruination. In his revelation, Allah condemns those who indulge in lying. When you return, they will apologize to you, say, make no excuses, we will not believe you. Allah has already told us of your news. Surely Allah and his messenger will see your work. Then you will be returned to the knower of the unseen and the visible, and he will inform you of what you are doing. When you return to them, they will swear to you by Allah that you might turn aside from them. Let them alone, they are unclean. Gehenna bracket hell bracket shall be their refuge, a recompense for their earnings. Chapter 9, verse 94 to 95. Ka'ab said, the matter of the three of us had been left in the balance, separated from the matter of those who had made excuses on earth before the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, and which he had accepted by renewing their covenant, and for whom he supplicated for forgiveness. The Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, kept our matter pending until Allah determined it with, and to the three who had been left behind, until the earth became narrow with all its vastness, and their souls became narrow for them. They knew that there was no shelter from Allah except in him. Then he turned to them, bracket in mercy bracket, so that they might also turn, bracket in repentance bracket. Allah is a relenter, the most merciful. Chapter 9, verse 118. It does not mean that we lag behind from jihad, but it means that Allah deferred our cases until after the cases of those who had pleaded on earth before the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, and he had accepted their excuses. In another narration, it's added, the Prophet, praise and peace be upon him, set out for Tobruk on Thursday. His preference was to set out on a journey on a Thursday. It was his practice to return from a journey during the daylight before noon. Upon his arrival, he would go immediately to the mosque and offer two voluntary units of prayer, bracket, rakas, bracket. Then he would sit down and receive the people.